listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, April 2nd already. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, Michael. Happy April.
Happy
Glad
April.
To be here.
I think we're coming up to a... it's not the solstice, right? It's the... what are the equinox?
It came and went, Michael.
Ah, gosh, where have I been?
Yeah.
Good golly.
March. Yeah, we just passed it.
And I missed the blood moon, too, so I'm telling you, time is going by fast, but
it is.
I'm so happy to see everybody every week in the chat. Always appreciate your contributions. Can't wait to get into tonight's broadcast and our discussion. And I just want to also say we're always thankful to those that take the time out of their week to catch up with us from the archives, and we appreciate when you take the time to send in that feedback. We always appreciate reading it, and we like the contributions. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. We'll begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. Tonight, I am very happy to welcome Dr. Doug Kelly and your topic tonight, How to Get What You Want. Very much looking forward to it. Welcome.
Hi, everyone. Good to be here with you yet again. Good to see so many familiar names in the chat room. So I picked this topic because, you know, I think it's a good one, how to get what you want. I've got a few points I want to go over. And it's, you know, interestingly, this... that the answer to this question or this concept of how to get what you want is not really that hard. So we'll keep it somewhat simple, but there's some interesting points that I want to make. So we'll start with the first point that I want to make is the language of the mind. And, of course, if you've been through the doctoral degree program, you'll recognize some of these points. But the language of the mind is visualization. You know, we dream, right? We dream in pictures. We, you know, hypnosis, one of the big keys to hypnosis is visualization, visualizing things and metaphoric visualizations, you know, visualizations that mean something. And so the language of the mind is visualization, all right? So that's one point. And really the key to getting what you want is to have a focused mindset on getting what you want. Now, there's some components to that, so we'll get into those. And, of course, I've invited Michael and Vicki to jump in here and add any thoughts that they would like to do. So you have to have a focused mindset on getting what you want. Your thoughts drive your reality. And this brings us to what I call deliberate intent. So we can intend to get something we want, but it may not be deliberate intent. Deliberate intent simply means meaningful intent. You think about it. You want it. You know, you're focused on it. If we focus, visualize, and meditate on what we want, we become entangled with what we desire, and we create that reality in due time. So that's kind of the long, the short of it right there. And if you've been through the courses at all, you know about quantum entanglement. Basically, we get entangled with what we want. And in order to do that, we have to put out what we want out to the universe, and we need to repeat that. We put it out to the universe, what we want. We focus on it. We meditate on it. But there's also something else that is necessary. There needs to be an energy shift within us. We need to shift our inner energy, or our energy signature. And our energy signature is just what makes us who we are. And the things that can change our energy signature are our beliefs, you know, the way we react to things or respond to things, our opinions, just our way of life. All of that goes into being, making our energy signature what it is. And our energy signatures can be healthy, or they can be unhealthy. And so, of course, we want to have a healthy energy signature, which includes being positive and upbeat. And that includes having a positive self-concept as well. So we come back around a little bit here, and we want to become entangled with that which we want, meaning we focus on it and we shift that energy within us so that when we think about it, we kind of like sound it deep down inside, and we really focus on the benefits of having that thing that we want, accomplishing whatever objective, whatever it is we want. And that involves focusing on what we want and not on what we don't have. That's a key point. And I'll pause here for a moment to see if anybody has a thought they want to add or not.
I can always ground something up.
I'd like to add a couple of things from the chat, if that's all right.
Yeah, go ahead.
Dr. Mike has said people often don't get what they want because they never ask, out of fear, pride, or overthinking. Yeah. Whether it's a raise, help, or an opportunity, ask clearly and respectfully.
Yeah, and that's where deliberate intent comes from.
Yeah.
It comes into play. You have to put what you want out to the universe. And that you just, you know, in I think it's in course B2 at IMHS and in G70, at TFU, there's what I call the soul light meditation. And you basically visualize this light, this ball of light within you, and you let it rise up through your, you know, you visualize it like in the center of your mass, and let it rise up and out through the top of your head, and just open up the universe, and just however you want to visualize it. I visualize it with, you know, this ball of light above my head is my higher self, and it's radiating like lightning, you know, out into the universe to infinity, right? And whatever I put out into there it's like a carrier. It's like a radio signaling, a radio wave. It carries that information, carries it out into the universe. And that's putting your deliberate intent. So that's how you ask. So that's a good point, Dr. Mike.
So Howard puts a good note in here. The challenge he has is decoupling what society tells him he should want versus what he actually wants. How do you suggest people manage that?
What society tells you want is none of your business. It's as simple as that. So what? You know, society will always have an opinion on something. Everybody has that. But again, when it comes to us individually, it just doesn't matter. It does not matter what society thinks I should do.
Right.
It's what I think I should do. Now, of course, the fundamental basis or rules or laws, principles, is do no harm, do right. So as long as you're doing no harm and you're doing right, it doesn't really matter what anybody else thinks. And if they don't like it, well, you know what? That's fine. They don't have to like it. And if you cave into what society thinks you should be doing, or what your family, your friends, or whoever think you should be doing, guess what? Guess whose path you're walking?
Mm-hmm.
Not yours. You're walking and theirs.
The way that you put that, I really like that, you know, basically it's none of your business. You shouldn't care. And I think that's the best way, because also if you're doing something in opposition to what society wants, you're still taking it into context and letting it dictate things. It's just the reverse of that. So I think just apathy. Apathy is always, you know, the best course of action when it comes to other people's thoughts on how you should exist.
Right.
Within
reason.
I
have another thought on that, but I think there was another point you wanted to bring up.
Yeah, well, Dr. Kevin earlier had asked if you could expand for a minute on your newsletter regarding the proper use of the PhD degrees of IMHS and TFU.
The proper use?
That's what he's asking.
Oh, and he's asking about a class ring. Haven't found any affordable class ring that I can have custom.
You've been looking for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, they're just so expensive.
Yeah.
And most people really can't. But how should you use your degree? Well, it depends on what your degree is in. You know, a lot of students have degrees in spiritual counseling, life coaching, some hypnosis, some both. Many have them in paranormal science, parapsychology, ufology, cryptozoology. Many have them in holistic healing. So whatever your degree is in, you basically use it for the betterment of humanity. I don't know if that answers that question, but that's essentially what they're for.
I think it's helpful to see it on any kind of a job application where you have your education, that even no matter what age you're at or what point in your life, you went back to school. You know, you're improving yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Even that alone can speak volumes. So
yeah, you put it on your resume because that does show lifelong learning, and that's a value to any leader, any employer that's good, honestly. If they're worth their salt, they know they appreciate the people invest in themselves and educate themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've known several people who just having a PhD at Metaphysics Institute and whatever year, they go, curiosity, but the fact that you've gone back to school, whatever your interest was. So it's I think it's a good thing to have myself, no matter what you want to do.
All right, so I'm going to carry on with the discussion, and if anybody has any questions or anything, just let me know. But that's what I wanted to continue on with, is that When we're trying to get what we want, there's some other caveats, if you will. Albert Einstein once wrote, "You cannot change the current life your mind created with the same mind that created it." So, in other words, you must change the way you think. Change your mind, change your reality. That's what it is. So there's trade-offs that are involved with getting what you want. And of course, Dr. Vicky likes to call them trade-ups, which essentially is true, but it's the same concept.
Mm-hmm.
Trade-offs, you trade something for another, something else. So that trade-off could be money, could be hard work, could be spending time pursuing what you want. You know, there's a number of them that it could be. So what are you willing to trade to get what you want? You need to be clear on that. Again, time, money, education, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Trade. You need to trade something for that, and that's pretty simplified as well. Any other points you want to interject?
Yeah, Dr. Jerry has said she spent many years using the Abraham Hicks thing, the secret, but after nothing happening, she eventually gave up, and it became a negative for her, seeing it as a failure. So I think this is a good time to clarify that there's many energies at work. You don't just sit and say, I want this. It's like, I write in the Advanced Law of Attraction that there are many elements at work, not just one thing. And that's why, things like The Secret don't work for people. But you go ahead and elaborate, Dr. Kelly. You know where I'm going with this.
The Law of Attraction is essentially correct. because whatever we focus our minds on is what we get. That's just the way life works. I mean, I can look back over my life, and everything I've ever wanted, I've gotten. Okay, I can't fly like Superman yet. Okay, I don't expect that to happen. But, and I'll comment on that in just a moment. But basically, whatever we focus on and put energy toward, that deliberate intent, it comes to pass in due time. And that's the thing. A lot of people are impatient. It will come in due time. But again, you have to focus on it. You have to invest yourself in it. You have to be willing to do trade-offs for it, whatever you want to trade for it. And then it will happen, because mm-hmm. that's the way life works. You know, and then there's free will, right? And free will, you can basically have anything you want, provided it's on the menu, right?
But I think we have to self-awareness has a lot to do with it too, though.
Yeah. Let me finish this point. Sure. We'll go over to self-awareness.
Because you're old and you forget things?
Yeah, absolutely. Talk about somebody who knows that. Comes from experience, I see. All right, so if you go to a particular restaurant, they give you a menu, and you can order anything you want on the menu. But if you go to an Italian restaurant and you want Mexican food, it's not on the menu, so you can't have Mexican food at the Italian restaurant, right?
Right.
That's the thing with free will. People say, well, you know, free will is just an illusion. It's not real. No. We have free will as long as it's on the menu. I can't fly like Superman, and I never will, like Superman.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can I put a jetpack on and fly? Sure, but that's not like Superman, is it? So we get around it as human beings in our ingenuity. We get around those things, and we can do a lot of different things. So as long as it's on the menu, we can do it. So that's, you need to make sure that what you want is on the menu. Okay? Go ahead and
I was going to say, I've often used this and told people this. We all want to get to Walmart, but it depends on what route you take. And if you're aware enough to kind of sense your surroundings, defensive driving, because somebody's going to run a yellow or red, or some pedestrian, you know, steps off the curb. So we have to be self-aware and environmentally or situationally aware to navigate through life to get what we want.
Mm.
So,
yeah.
You know, I just wanted to add that in there.
Well, yeah.
You know, one thought that I'm having is I love the way that you have deliberate intent written on the cards, and I've read it many a time. And one of my favorite parts about it is the fact that, you know, it's not magic. It takes action, and that's... I very much believe in the metaphysical, but just as a mind exercise, a lot of times I try to take the materialistic practical the base application that, you know, you could put like in a math equation, right? And your focus of deliberate intent changes your behavior in obtaining that thing, and also with the motivation and the persistence that you use to obtain that thing. And, you know, I think that, that is a big thing, you know, the secret, I'm only vaguely aware of it. You know, I was young when it kind of was real popular and real hot. But to me, it always, you know, a lot of people interpreted it as, you know, you focus on something and eventually you'll get it in your life by, you know, karmic magic. But, you know, it takes action. It takes physical action in the physical world. And I think a lot of times things line up in the metaphysical as well. But you still have that action that, you know, you need to take to get to there. And on the conversation of free will, I keep coming back to this idea, you know, a lot of people that are determinists will say, you know, the things that you like in this life, a lot of elements of your personality, you didn't consciously choose, you know, your experiences and your genetics, you know, lead you to these kind of personality traits and these, you know, morality things. And I'm like, to a degree, but it's a give and take, right? Just like you always like to say about it being on the menu, there are a lot of things in life that are just simply out of our control, and people hate to think about that. The fact that I am who I am is in a lot of ways dependent on the fact that I was born, you know, in a specific time and place. That's just the way it is. But within that time and place, I still make day-to-day decisions on how I'm going to behave and Some of that's habit, and then some of it's also deliberate intent to kind of bring it full circle. So those are my musings. I'll get off that soapbox.
Good. So Dr. Jerry brought up a point, too. You know, she's got a house in Arizona she wants to sell. You know, so let's talk about what we want is mitigated or complicated or influenced by what other people want or what they have or whatever. And again, that's not something that we need to fret too much over, but we do need to remember that provided that we focus on it, put it out to the universe, focus on what we want, not on what we don't have, eventually we will get that. It works. I am living proof of that. I've always achieved anything I put my mind to. It didn't happen overnight, but it did happen, and it continues to happen, you know? And so don't let those types of things discourage you, because that's what I was talking about when you have to allow it to affect your inner energy, that energy signature that we have, that I'm trying to figure out how to put it well. We have to live it, I guess, is a good way to put it. Whatever that is thing that we want, maybe it's a career, maybe it's an objective, maybe it's, you know, whatever. I mean, for many years, back in, what was it, 2000, 2001, I started doing seminars around the country for a couple of companies, you know, leadership, communications, assertiveness, relationship, things like that. I was teaching around the country. And I always wanted to be a professional speaker. Well, guess what? I accomplished that. And as I was doing that and developing my concepts like the life leadership paragon and other things, I began to think, you know, I want a training center. I want a training center. And so essentially that's what I got in 2010 when I started, you know, ICMH Church and IMHS. And then in 2015 when I started TFU, you know, I didn't get one, I got two essentially. And it's just so much easier, and the reach is so much greater, you know, having online schools than having a physical training center. So that came to pass. And of course, there's a lot of other examples too. So be, you know, remember deliberate intent, put it out to the universe, be familiar with what you're willing to trade for it and what you're willing to do for it to get this goal. And don't let anything hold you back. I mean, continue to work toward it. Feel it. Think about it every day. Think about it. Dream about it. Put it out there. And eventually it will come to pass, because that's the way life works.
Questions? You know, Wendy is mentioned in the chat, what you try to manifest may not happen overnight. It may take a month, a year, or even a lot, you know, a lot of years. Yeah. And by the time you get it, you may have a completely different focus and different wants. LOL. Yeah. She said, I have that delay. It happens, but it can take a while, or maybe it's when the universe thinks it's time and you're ready for that. And there's a point in there, a couple actually, but I think we're always evolving, and whatever you start doing can evolve into something else that you couldn't have otherwise imagined. And you say, wow, that's really exciting. But I think it's also timing. I can't tell you the numbers of things I've invented or created, and I'm working on it, and then suddenly it's in the store. You know?
Yeah, happens.
And I have to move on to the next thing, because I don't have that kind of money to market. So it's that evolution of ourselves also.
Let me comment on that too, because let me just review that. Okay, now I just kind of lost my thought. I do remember at one point in my life, I thought, you know what I should do? I should market bottled water. This was back in the early 80s. And I also thought, you know, I really should come up with a smaller satellite antenna call it Ears on Earth. Mm-hmm. And I thought about this and all that. And guess what happened? Of course, I never had the funds to do that. If I'd really wanted to, I would have done it. But heck, I was 22 at the time. So that was a little bit out of my reach at the point. I know what I wanted to say. Sometimes the thing that we need is more data. We need more or more experience. Mm-hmm. Like there have been several times when I have set out to write a book or whatever, and I had the concept and I had some points, but it just wasn't coming together for me. And it wasn't until I did more research or got more experience or whatever that it finally came together. I mean, I was 51 when I started the church in IMHS. And it took, in my opinion, all those decades prior developing like the life leadership paragon and my concepts, the assertiveness profile, the behavioral profile, all these different things, living through two alcoholic relationships, writing Empowered Recovery, creating that whole thing. All of these different things had to happen before these schools were possible. Mm-hmm. So if I had wanted to do schools back in the day when I was 20-something or even 30-something, I could have done it, but it wouldn't have had the power that they now have, because I lived this. And I know what I'm talking about now because I lived through it and I successfully lived through it. So don't rule out that you might need more research, more data, more experience. Let that happen.
I'm actually having that experience. I'm writing a series of books, a fiction, and I'm on the second one. I have the draft done and I'm going over it, and now I'm kind of in a limbo because there's a lot of science in it too. And so I'm having to learn a lot.
There you go.
And, you know, okay, what's realistic? What can I get away with? How do these characters manifest that? And it just has to gel. That's all. And so I'm patient being this age. I can be patient with that process. You know, of course, my weakness is always the marketing of these things and, you know, pursuing things that I can have skills for other people, but not necessarily for myself. So it's enlisting the help of others. And I think that's an important point to make here also. If you know that you have weaknesses, so to speak, or things that somebody else is better at, then enlist their help. You know? Yeah. And so, but if you're really good at this, not so good at that, you know, and it's not taking on the whole project on your own all the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, another example I can, similar to what you're saying, is back in 2010 and in 2011, right in there, you know, I came up with the idea that I wanted a handbook on metaphysical humanism. And I called it the Enchiridion, the Enchiridion of Metaphysical Humanism. And I've got a whole file on what's going to go into that thing. And it's been sitting there for 15 years. Why? Because I cannot decide how I want to structure it.
Yeah.
And I have spent time and time, but somehow I'm missing something. Something's not there yet. It hasn't quite come together yet. Because Enchiridion simply means handbook. So it's a handbook of metaphysical humanism. And it basically includes the core teachings of metaphysical humanism, which is what every student has learned or is learning in the degree program. You know, the life leadership paragon is basically the foundation of everything. Do no harm, do right, all that stuff. You know, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, respect for free will, and these three create self-completeness. So all of that is the foundation, but I need it to be so that it's easily digestible, if you will. So, and you know, and my goal is to make it freely available to the world at some point when, you know, a hot place freezes over and I finish it. So, anyway, any other questions from anybody?
I'm going over the chat here, just, you know, trying to, Dr. Mike had made a comment about sometimes it can, you know, we focus too hard and it's counterintuitive because it can sometimes lead to stress or depression.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but don't let things get you. Don't lose hope. you know, that can be easy. I understand, especially if you really, really want it. But if it's not happening as fast for you, then ask why. What is holding me back here? And try to take it from a logical point of view rather than an emotional point of view. Mm-hmm. Although emotions are powerful too, but try to understand what is it that I'm not getting? What is it that's holding me back that I'm not seeing?
Well, I guess that would go along with what Dr. Ione is saying. Can you really want something too much?
Yeah, you can. I mean, when I'm thinking about this, all I can do is relate to my own experiences where it is not a logical process. And what you're talking about is usually not a thing. You know, maybe it's you want, you know, a career path or something like that. But I can tell you that, especially as a young man, you know, if I was, you know, had a crush on a girl or something and I wanted it so bad. I was too nervous. What if I say the wrong thing? What if I do the wrong thing? You get locked up and it's like paralysis, you know, you have to, you know, work to overcome that. But usually that means bringing things back into balance and not letting your emotions pile on each other. So, you know, and I think obsession about anything can become unhealthy because you exclude other things in your life on the sole focus of one thing. People do it all the time. Anorexia, bulimia, you know, things and all that kind of nature. People focusing on their careers to the detriment of their family and relationships and things like that. I'm using, you know, Hallmark movie channel examples now, but nonetheless, you get the idea. But, you know, I think everything in balance, right? Everything in balance.
Yeah, of course.
So I think also, too, when you're talking about people, I think we have to go back to do no harm, do right, because if they're not that into you, don't keep wanting it.
Well, here's the thing. You know, the fears, like, you know, I've looked back to my life and I realized that there were girls I had a crush on that I absolutely could have had a relationship with, especially when they told me so years later. But, you know, I got so wrapped up in the fear of it, and you wanted something, and if it didn't fall through, that would be the end of the world. And frankly, if I'd cared less, I would have gone for it and it would have worked out. And I know it would have worked out because I've talked with them later and they said, oh, for sure, I would have gone out with you. And I'm like, God dang it, all the heck. But, you know
all right, so Dr. Mike is saying, is wanting to win the lottery too much? And I'm with you on that one, Mike, but I think too, if I can sound really cliche here, I think lotteries in life come in all forms, not necessarily just money. You know, and that's where we come to gratitude, you know, that all these little gifts that are very often given that we sometimes take for granted. So it may not come in form of the multi-millions, but it can come in form of other ways, you know.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I'm going to wrap up my part of the discussion, and then I'll let you guys carry on.
Good to have you.
The last thing, well, I'm not done yet, but the last thing is, you know, let's be reasonable with all of this discussion, right? You know, yeah, there are going to be some things that are just, it's not reasonable to expect to get. It's not reasonable for me to expect to go build a skyscraper by myself or even do it. It's not something I'd want anyway. But, you know, we got to be reasonable. But if you want to generally get what you want, you know, remember, language of the mind is visualization. You got to have that focused mindset. You know, your thoughts drive your reality. So remember that deliberate intent. Put it out to the universe. Focus on what you want, not on what you don't have. You know, allow that desire to permeate within you and just keep working toward it. You know, just deliberately working toward it. Don't let anything hold you back. Keep going and be patient. It will come about in due time. And don't forget, what are you willing to trade for? And then go after it. So I hope some of this discussion was beneficial to you out there. And I appreciate your feedback from those listening in the chat room and whatnot. And I look forward to coming back again down the road.
Well, it's been so good to have you back, Dr. Kelly.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's fun. And I'm glad you have a sense of humor about getting old.
Wait, did I miss something? You have a sense of humor?
Once in a while.
I kid. But okay. No, it's been an absolute pleasure. You know, I so rarely get to catch up with you, so it's good to talk with you.
Yeah, there's the sense of humor. Yeah. All right.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Dr. Kelly.
Again, nice being here with you again, and we'll see you again next month.
All right. We'll see you again.
Okay.
Take care.
You know, I think we do have time just for a few cards anyway. So
oh, we do.
The first six names. How's that, everybody? Let's do that.
Oh, I reckon we can even fit in Audra if she throws one in fast enough. But while we get some names, they're going to be popping up. I have my cards here at the ready, and I had to take a moment where I had to escort two rather noisy dogs out of my office here so they weren't making noise and ripping things up while we were live. Did you emphasize on the importance of working with other people and teamwork and nobody's an island? I think I caught the tail end of that for the idea of obtaining our wants and desires, right?
Yeah. Enlist help if you need it.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, and you know, sometimes you just need the right person to come in your life to offer an idea, a viewpoint, or, you know, the help to get you where you want to be. So, yep, you know, rely on your loved ones and your friends, and, you know, everything's in balance, not too much, but, you know, they can be a huge, great resource. So, we have some names coming up, and I know that you're eager to start drawing some cards and digging into that intuition. So, right off the bat, I do think that we have Dr. Ione first, if I'm not mistaken.
We do.
All right. Rolling right along, we have number 12, Spirit, Cosmos, Divine Energy. Drawing this card indicates that the evolving relationship you have with your own inner spirit or higher self within the context of the greater universe. You are growing your relationship with the cosmic consciousness. Continue to observe and appreciate the interconnectedness of all life forms within the fabric of life and the important role you and they play.
And I have the Six of Clubs for you, Ione, and, you know, that's, I always see that as a celebration, kind of a homecoming kind of thing. But when it's with divine energy and that, like there's, I did catch in the chat that you're looking for, to live off grid in Arizona. It's kind of thinking in that way that that would be your celebration of life and working toward that. So kind of in keeping with our conversation today, I think you're going to find exactly what you want. I really do. Keep going. I think we have Dr. Jerry next.
All right, Jerry, for you, I have number 41, communication. The most important form of communication is with the higher self, reflecting on one's spiritual evolution. A good communicator both listens and speaks equally, interactively, and with interest. A poor communicator either talks too much or listens too much. A lack of communication will kill any relationship, and this is the most effective method for ending an unhealthy relationship. Assertive communication is direct, honest, empathetic, and focuses on win-win. Communication, along with trust, are the two most important relationship traits. Good one.
A good one. And the Queen of Pentacles, Queen of Diamonds for you, Jerry. I think something's going to pay off for you. Something is in matters of communication, because that's what you do. Something is going to bring you a bit of money in matters of work. So I can see somebody saying yes. At least I'm hearing that in my head, and an interest, but there's a little check beside it. So I'm encouraged by that for you. Good for you. We have Jackie next.
All right, Jackie, for you, I have a wild card. Wild card number 9, blank.
I love that card.
Drawing this card puts you on notice to dig deep within for the answers you seek. This card is what you want it to be. It's what you need it to be, and it's all that you desire it to be. Remember that the unconscious mind speaks to you in the quietest of voices and the loudest of ways, often overlooked. The universe is always on your side. Dig deep, for your answers lay within.
I got Temperance for you. The first thing that always comes to mind with that symbol is water, patience, that flow. But a question came to mind. Are you being honest? So when you have that blank card and Temperance, it's like, is this really what you want? you know? Or is it a modification of that? And maybe kind of in keeping with something we talked about earlier, is maybe what you think you want and what you're really desiring is going to manifest through your experience. So there's an evolution happening here for you, Jackie. I always find that kind of exciting, even though you don't know what that looks like today. So I want to just say, go with the flow, you know, and it'll be shown to you.
Very good.
You know, in keeping with Ione's comments in the chat here for those in the archives, she's lived on solar for the past 4 years, and she has, whole thing where she can live on her own, or her little bus is completely self-sufficient. I'm too old now, but that was always my dream. I lived in the country for over 20 years, and being self-sufficient is, even though I did have power, but it's just an awesome life. It's not for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Isolation is not for everybody because that's what's required. But I just had to throw that in there. I'm envious. I love that. And I spend a lot of time alone now, and I just shut the world out. Because, you know, being an artist or being creative, you know, you end up in your own little bubble. And it's awesome. So I was telling my daughter that she found there's a couple of bears up by her place. That bears don't scare me. I said, when I stayed with a friend down in Trail, I said, there's bears wandering between the houses all the time. People have got these bear horns, and nobody even bats an eyelash. I said, and I learned bears are nothing. Don't worry about bears. Cougars, be careful.
So, yeah.
It's like, so you know, you get to know what's kind of danger and what's not. Snakes, Arizona has some nasty snakes. And
no.
You know, those javelinas can be pretty aggressive, but, you know, you get the hang of it after a while.
Yeah. Plus, you got to watch out for those Arizonans, you know.
I know, them too. They do. We got Howard next. All right.
All right, Howard. For you, I have number 3, be who you are and walk your own path. You are a uniquely designed, one-of-a-kind, universal being, equally entitled to all good things the same as others. Drawing this card encourages you to be who you are and to walk your own path, not comparing yourself with others. Give yourself permission to accept who and what you are. Move forward in the direction you need to take, that you need to take that best fulfills yourself.
I got judgment from the Major Arcana in that one, Howard. And that's declaration, announcement. It may be announcing yourself or more freely sharing yourself and what you think or you feel, you know, with the world. The one thing I have to say, a lot of people need to feel emotionally comfortable to be forthcoming and with other people. But if you're emotionally comfortable with yourself, it's easy and there's nothing anybody can do to you. So I don't know why I had to throw that in for you, Howard, but walk your own path and that judgment of you know, this is who I am and this is what I think, and shrug your shoulders and keep going. I like it.
All right.
We have Kevin next.
Kevin, for you, I have number 24, truth. There are many ways to discover cosmic truth. It begins with knowing who you are and why you are who you are. This is your truth. Discovering cosmic truth involves further discovering the truths that are often concealed within a relationship or a life situation. Yet the only truths kept secret are those we will not see. This is a time of deep introspection to intuitively gauge the way ahead. This card may indicate that there is truth in something or a direction.
Wow, that's 3 out of 5 now that are Major Arcana tonight. That's interesting. I got the Hermit for you, Kevin. So, truth and a Hermit. There's some introspection going on here. Self-awakening, realization. The Hermit always looks deep within. It's that inner light and feeling that spark kind of inside yourself. So, I think you're going through another rite of passage, to be honest. That's kind of what I'm seeing. And we all go through them, trust me, all the time. No matter how much we think we know about ourselves, there's always something else to be revealed. So it's I think you're going through just another one of those, oh, I see. I think that's pretty cool. That's an affirmation, so there we go. All right, we have Jeff, Dr. Jeff next. Are you muted, Mike?
Yeah, it was. Dr. Jeff, for you, I have number 23, meaning and purpose.
The meaning
of life is built upon values and beliefs and remains constant. The purpose of life is the action plan for the meaning of life. The purpose can change. A sense of purpose always evolves. The question is not, what is the purpose of life? Rather, it is, what is the purpose of my life? True fulfillment comes when embracing your heart's desire with both meaning and a renewed sense of purpose to fulfill that meaning. This card can also relate to the meaning or purpose of a specific situation or lack thereof.
Well, I've got two cards here for you. It's a three of spades, which could be a disappointment in something where you thought it had purpose, but really it's just meaning for you. That's my first things that want to come out of my mouth. But then I also have the page of pentacles, is what will make you the money? You know, and that's interesting, isn't it, Michael, where very often there's something we love to do, but it's kind of end up in what we do for ourselves in a hobby versus this other thing we really like, but it's not necessarily the passion, but that's what's going to bring the money. So you have to sometimes go with the money and slowly build up the passion. Mm-hmm. So that's what I want to say to you, Jeff.
Yeah.
And Audra said if we have time.
Well, you said six. So.
This would be seven.
No, you said six. You were very firm about that. I thought, wow, she is really strict on that whole six thing. I mean, God forbid somebody wants seven or eight, but I mean, I guess we got to stop it right there. Yeah, you can get. Of course, we're going to get Audra. Audra, for you, I have number six, boundaries. And let's see, number six, boundaries. It's important for you to establish clear boundaries for yourself. Equally, it's necessary to be aware of others and to not overstep or encroach on their boundaries. This is the mark of a complete. This is a mark of a self-complete individual. Reassess and assertively protect your healthy boundaries while looking to see if you are overstepping elsewhere. Begin with asking yourself, "Who owns me?"
Ooh, this is interesting, Audra. When I pull the moon, I always say there's a mystery afoot, like something you don't know about. And when you have boundaries with the moon, there could be someone in your midst who's trying to pull the wool over your eyes or be a strategist or, you know, kind of maybe a little manipulation in there. But that's where you know your boundaries. So if you stick to your own boundaries and you see clearly, you'll see the game. Wow, that's an interesting one, Michael.
Yeah.
So it's being able to see that you got this. Audra, you know who you are, and you know what you're doing. So I really think this is in the workplace. So it's not that you have to handle with caution. Sometimes you just have to play the game better.
Mm.
Sometimes it's like a chess game, you know, and let them think they're winning. But not really. You know, everybody, sometimes I had a conversation with someone the other day about this, and like women are notoriously really good at sales. They're not always good closers, meaning you get to close the sale, and inevitably it's largely men you're dealing with, and they still want to drag it out longer. And they don't close it. And I learned whenever I wanted to go close a sale back in the day, I would just take a man with me. I don't care. You know, take a man with me and then, you know, the contract gets signed. Nobody's playing any more mind games. It's just use it. Like, don't be afraid to use whatever you need. Like, so what?
I'm confused. Are you playing the mind games and you can't help yourself? Or you're somebody's playing the mind games with you?
Well, usually they're playing mind games with me. So with women. men like to prolong.
Well, what
you know,
about
and,
what about other women? I mean, because you know, women make up more than half the population. You know, hypothetically, I'd imagine at least some of the customers would be women as well, right?
Well, put it this way: back in the day, and I think it still holds, the majority of people in positions of power are men.
Yeah.
And back in my day, there were very few women managers or CEOs and, and stuff. That's
yeah, I get what you're saying. You know, I will say for me in my my life, you know, most numerically, just most of my bosses and supervisors have been women just by happenstance.
Which but is, that's over the last, you know, 20 years. And
yeah, this is no doubt.
You know,
no doubt.
So I'm just saying, if it's something, just use your skill if you need to, and don't be afraid to. You know what I'm saying? And,
no,
you know,
no.
But let me also, I want to add this, though. A lot of women now feel, I'm not meaning to get off topic, but a lot of women now feel they need to behave and think like men to be in those power positions. So you can be dealing with a woman who's actually thinking like a man. And I've met a lot of those women. So, a lot of male energy rather than that insightful, fortuitous kind of energy. And I'm just saying, Michael, just those are my observations, and I could certainly stand
you
to
know,
be corrected.
There, well, I don't know. I can't. I'm in a position to correct anybody when it comes to how a woman should feel or be. But I would like to get to a point where, you know, some of these traits are divorced from gender stereotype, you know, to be direct or to be a, you know, that kind of even
well,
blunt,
nice.
You know, I think women
Wendy,
are,
Wendy is saying she agrees with me.
Well, there you go. But I think women are equally as capable of being dicks as men. I think that they can be, bad,
they
you know,
honorary
people.
But that's what I'm
but
saying.
But vice versa, I think men can be caring and intuitive and things like that. And I get what you're saying with the male energy and the female energy, but you know, it, you know how it kind of hits me. It hits me in the same way that, you know, I've had friends that were, you know, black friends that were kind of into like nerdier things, and they've joked about it being kind of like a white thing, or when they talk about it, they, you know, speaking of, you know, it's nerd, anything associated with nerddom is associating with whiteness. When that's, to me, is just the stereotype built up by, you know, cultural repetition, right? Because I have known so many black nerds, and there's nothing racial about being into certain things. I think culturally.
I get what you're saying.
Right.
I get what you're saying, but I think that when you're talking business and positions of authority, positions of management, and people like to play the power game, you know?
True.
And that's kind of where I'll leave that one because it's, Dr. Mike, who in their right mind would want to hold a senior management job in today's business world?
You know.
That's true.
And
not me.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just my, and I have to say, you know, admittedly, my personal experience definitely affects my worldview on that a lot, which I know yours does as well, too. Like, from my perspective, I've known more cutthroat women in my industry than I've known men.
I know. And that's a shame because
but how do you know that they would have, you know, is it not possible for, you know, again, women make up more than half the population. I'm going to run out of runtime just talking about this weird thing. But, you know, they make up more than half the population. Isn't it just statistically probable that, you know, a good number are just going to be kind of aggressive and kind of, you know,
I don't know. You know, Damien's saying it takes a psychopath, regardless of gender, for some of these management jobs. I think that's the wrong word.
Sociopath.
Honestly, Damien. I think what it is greed.
Well,
and selfishness. And then from greed and selfishness, you can go into, you know, a bit of narcissism. You can go into sociopathy. But
right.
Psychopath is way at the end of the scale.
That's more like a Joker-esque, where a sociopath is more like, you know, American Psycho. So there you go.
Yeah, you know.
But pop culture references.
We digress. You know, I've really enjoyed this evening. You know, we're closing in on that. And it's it's just always good. And thanks for the feedback and everybody and the conversation in the chat tonight. This is the beginning of April. You know, 2025 is a conundrum to me because I feel like I have to remind myself it's April because I feel like it should be December. And then the flip side is I go, oh, wow, summer's coming. Oh, it's only April.
Yeah.
You know? And know. So many things going on in the world, and it's kind of a warped time. You know, the time-space continuum out there, so...
I'm telling you. You know, I have to point out Howard in the chat, because last night, last week, long-time listeners will remember that we had a great debate on, you know, the true evil merits of coconut. And we all agreed, as a group, we all agreed that coconut was horrible and evil and that no good person likes it. You know, I remember that. Pretty good.
Yeah, of course.
I'm in my office here, and... there's like a office Christmas bag or something. I had stashed it away and forgotten about it. Well, my foster dog Bear digs it out, and that's why I had to usher him out because he was ripping up this bag and it was very noisy and stuff. And in the bag was a bottle of wine, which I'm sure is fantastic, and a, let's see.
Coconut.
Yeah, no, a bottle of coconut chocolate snack mix. And so, you know, obviously I had to.
Howard said no mention of coconuts this
yeah.
week.
Yeah, that's what I'm playing off of. I had to. I have to play off it. But, you know, anyway, it's good stuff. But we do need to wrap it up because every minute we go past 10 o'clock Eastern or an hour of runtime, I have to send Dr. Vicky an extra $20 per minute. So we got to get
he
it wrapped.
Lies. He lies.
I like to have fun.
We do too. You know, it's been a great night, but focus on what you want out there, mm-hmm. guys, but don't let them push you around.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, don't go aggressively pushing people around. Let people
That's
live
right.
their lives too, you know. But no, it's good stuff. It was a great discussion. Great to have Dr. Doug Kelly on. I've been enjoying these discussions that we have with him, and hopefully we look to see him next month as well.
Hey, Michael, before you go. Wendy knows wants to know where you get a dog like that. Dog to find a bottle of wine. She wants one.
Well, you know, you come down to Southwest Florida, I got this dog right here for you. You know, results not guaranteed. But
anyway, I had to throw that in.
No, I love you guys, and I love this the banter. I love the jokes. I love that we can really share with one another, and we can be honest, and we can kind of come to this place and exchange ideas. And Dr. Vicky, I love chatting with you every week, so thank you to everybody.
Both ways, Michael.
I appreciate that. And I have no idea what we're going to talk about next week, if we have any guests lined up or not, but I can tell you it is going to be a fantastic discussion, and it's probably going to change your life. So please join us next week. Until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.